Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning, Aaron.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hey, Aaron.
Hello, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Jim.
Yeah. Nice to be here.
Hi, Laura. Hey, Stanley. Hi, Ken.
Good morning.
I do know that Destiny is not coming. Let's see. We're waiting for Joel, and we're waiting for Cassie.
And Jennifer, just FYI for you, we have four people in attendance. I'm not sure if any of them want to speak at public forum or not.
Well, when it comes to time, we will ask.
Perfect. And Steph Counselor Seffinger is our new liaison, by the way. That happened at the last business meeting. She asked me for the Zoom link, which I sent her, and I'm actually surprised that she is not signed on, but that's why Counselor Jensen isn't here.
Aw, you didn't get to bid him farewell.
Yeah, it came as a surprise to me, too.
What was the reason for the change?
Once a year, the mayor, at her discretion, changes assignments. And I just noticed it was on the agenda item at the last business meeting. And that was the first I knew of it.
Hey, Steph's an artist, so she fits right in.
Well, we'll give it 30 seconds, and then we'll start. We have a lot to talk about. Hey, Cassie.
Hi. I have a boy in the background who's about to get picked up to go to an acupuncture appointment, so I was muted because of a little background noise for a few minutes.
No problem. All right. Well, maybe we'll call to order and we'll hope that Joel shows up and Steph comes. Love to have Steph here. And so let's get the meeting going. It's good to see you all. Good morning on this beautiful Friday in Ashland. And I would like to start by asking if there are any additions to the agenda.
Jennifer, I just had a question about communication and email protocol just from this last month, because there was a lot of emails that were going out to everybody, and I was not, I'm feeling not totally clear about what is okay and what's not okay. So I was hesitant to respond, and I would just love to have a little conversation about clarity for my own communication.
Yeah, it always it's always confusing to me too. So when I send an email, I try to remember to blind copy you all and to have you maybe respond to me one-on-one. I don't think we can have a quorum or a discussion where we're all talking in a thread.
Okay.
It's confusing for all of us. It's really hard. Be in this email world and not know the protocols. And if Aaron, you want to clarify more?
No, what you said was actually perfect. It is a hard habit to get into. Sometimes I forget. But if you send a message where you're BCCing everyone, it's a message that you can't see that it's gone to everyone. And sometimes it's better to be explicit about it. Hello, I'm sending this to everyone, but you're all BCC'd. And that way it prevents a reply all situation, which is what we want to avoid.
Right.
So just for clarity, we're allowed to send a message to everyone. It's just when we start responding to everyone that it gets sticky.
So I'm not
okay to be explicit that I'm sending it to everyone.
I'm not an attorney, so I hesitate to get too into the weeds and be giving advice that may not be correct. You know, it seems to me obvious that the chair would want to send information to everyone. I don't know if the same rule applies the opposite way. It is tricky. And, you know, one of the things we haven't managed to do since we had new members come on board is typically we get a briefing from the city attorney where new advisory commission members get to ask all of these kind of questions. And with only having one attorney now, with Zoom, which it hasn't happened. And so, you know, I guess the best I would say is try to communicate individually as much as possible. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, it makes sense for the chair to be able to send information out to everyone. And that's about the best I can tell you.
Okay. Thank you.
So just to push it a little bit, if the chair can send it to everyone, why can't one of us send it to everyone as long as the replies are don't reply all, just reply individually? Is that?
I understand your question and your logic. I simply don't want to get over my skis here.
I mean,
that's the lawyer.
And I would guess maybe if you wish to send an email or want to know how to do it, I guess you could ask me and I can forward the email on your behalf.
There we go.
So, you know, there's ways to do it. Yeah. Sometimes emails go out that I have no idea about them. And they're requesting or doing things that I have not even been talked to about. So that's sometimes really hard. And I know we're in this, you know, we're in this virtual world. So it is sticky and it is hard. It's not perfect at all. I'm feeling very clunky. It's a great question. And I would hope that maybe now that maybe things are calming down, it would be great in the May-ish June era when there's sort of transitional time of the commission that maybe the lawyer will be able to spend 5 minutes with us. That would be great.
And I'll try to make an inquiry into that with with Bill.
Great. Thank you, Cassie, for that question. Other additions or questions before we go forward? Yes, Stanley.
I don't know if everybody was.
Stanley, we can't hear you.
Copied on Stephen's email that he forwarded. There was made an inquiry about why we're the only commission that meets during the work week, and his reply was, well, that's what our meeting's always been there. You're the only person that's ever complained. And he did reach out to the mayor and the mayor responded. And so I'm wondering if that is actually still an issue or if it's something we need to discuss further. I think we talked about it in our last meeting.
I recall we talked about it maybe at the end of 2020. One at one of our meetings then. We'll have to sift through and had decided as a commission that we felt fine with our time. And I think at that point, perhaps Steve was going to respond back to the person, but that has not maybe satisfied the citizen. So if you'd like me to add it to the agenda at the end, we can talk about this further.
We could. I'm not sure we need to. I mean, Stephen's response was pretty clear that we're not going to change our time unless there's a groundswell of citizens who demand it. I mean, but it's up to you if you want to add it. To me, I'm not, I'm fine with our meeting time. I don't know.
Well, thanks for asking. And if we have time or if anyone really strongly believes we should talk about it, I'm happy to bring it to when we have time later in this agenda. I guess that would be other business. Any other additions? Hello, Joel. Good to see you.
Hey, how's it going?
It's good.
Morning, Joel.
I'm glad you're all here. And Destiny gives her best. So we have a good amount of group today. Thank you all for being here. Public forum. Should we ask our citizens if they wish to talk?
All right, I'm just going to go down the line. Andy, are you here to speak or are you just attending? All right, hearing nothing. Ellen, you can speak if you would like. Okay, hearing nothing from Elon, I'm sorry. John, would you like to speak? Are you here to speak during public comment? Okay. Finally, Peter and Sandy, are either of you here to speak at public forum? All of you are able to unmute and speak.
This is Peter. I would like to say just a few words.
Great.
Go ahead. Okay. I have two bits of good news for you today. One is I started doing Ashland public art walking tours a few weeks ago. And I've just done about three of them so far, but the people who attend them are loving them. And I would really like to do something with every single one of you at some point. So I think everyone has my email and phone number. Just let me know when you can come on a walking tour and I'll set something up that will invite more people or do a one-on-one or two or three if people want to. That's number one. Number two, sort of related to that, I reached out to the artists who still live here locally, who have created public artworks in Ashland. And I asked them, would you be willing to speak to small groups of people at your artwork? Thinking of two things. One is having them speak during one of my walking tours. And number two, possibly having them speak, because I know the Public Arts Commission has been considering doing something on First Fridays with artists. And I got seven of the artists saying yes, which was really wonderful. Just briefly, I'll tell you, Russell Beebe, who carved We Are Here, the wood carving, Jack Langford, who did the bronze replica of We Are Here, Annette Julian, Fall Splendor on Calle Guanajuato Stairway, Jeremy Criswell, Inorganic Compound on Calle Guanajuato Stairway, Wataru Sugiyama, Gift at the Ashland Library back entrance, and Krista Hepford, Uplifting on Siskiyou Boulevard, and Jean Bakewell, who was involved in both the piece, creating the original piece fence, which then became the piece wall that is in front of the Ashland Library. So I will send an email with their names and I'll send an email to Jennifer with their names and contact information. But I was excited about it. So I wanted to let you all know verbally as well as in writing. Thank you.
That's great, Peter. Thank you for that update. And yes, that would be awesome to incorporate them into public discussions and tours. I love it. So thank you for your legwork. It's terrific. Anyone else wish to speak in the public forum? Please.
I think we tried to get everyone. If anyone else wants to raise their hand, we could recognize them, but I'm not seeing anything right now.
Okay, great. Well, let's move into liaison reports. So I don't, yes.
We skipped the minutes.
Oh, you're right. We should go there. Everyone looked at the minutes from January 21st, 2021. Maybe had a chance to review those. Do I have a motion or is there some discussion?
Will we adopt the minutes as prepared?
I have second.
Great. All those in favor of adopting the minutes, raise your hand so I can see. Great. It passes. Now let's move into liaison reports. And it looks like we don't have Steve, so I guess officially wish us all to wish him well. For those who joined a few minutes late, Steve Jensen is no longer the council liaison. Our new liaison will be Steph Selfinger, and it sounds like she was intending on being here. Maybe she will hop on when she's able. We look forward to having her. I remember meeting her at an art opening for Velocity, so that's terrific to reconnect with Steph. Aaron, I know there's a lot of things for us to talk about throughout the meeting, but do you have other things you wish to talk about as far as a liaison report?
You know, nothing really specific from the city side of things, except for the fact that the emergency order has been extended by council. We continue to be in this state. It seems like things are getting ready to change. I haven't heard much about that, but I would anticipate that when the mask order drops away, as the governor has said she will, I assume that that is going to correspond with city buildings reopening, but that's really speculation on my part. And really everything else I have to speak about, I'll hit on the agenda items later on.
Okay, great. Jim, it's good to see you. Do you have a report for us today?
Well, let's see. The next new thing on the commission side is trying to have interviews next week for a potential new commissioner, because Mike Gardner has retired. And so there's 11 participants, and Julian Bell and I are going to interview the 11, and then Rick Lant and Leslie Eldridge will review them. And then we are planning on recommending to the council who we feel would be a good fit. And so that's going to be a fairly big agenda next week, a lot of interviews. And so, and on the COVID pandemic side, I was at the Recreation Commission subcommittee meeting yesterday, and Rachel and Lonnie, the recreation specialists, said the Grove is going to start opening up as soon as this mask mandate has lifted, and there's people clamoring to get back together again. And it's just like, hopefully there's not a new variant, a deviant variant over the horizon, and we can kind of get back to the new normal. And so parks, a lot of our programs depend on having venues to hold these. And even though hiking, biking, and all that outdoor stuff, golf, is all doing really well, and people have decided to try to avoid the COVID and have some social interaction. So we're really hopeful that in this next few months we can get the Grove open, and there's ballroom dancing and archery and table tennis and you know, these are all arts in their own way, you know. And and let's see what else is happening on the parks front. I think that's, other than the politics, I don't know if anybody follows that, you know. There's going to be a survey coming out. The council is going to prepare a survey, and that's basically dealing with all the things dependent on property tax. It's police, fire, planning, and parks. And so I would just lobby everybody here to tell your friends to make sure you fill this thing out. And they're going to ask you, and the council rarely asks individuals how they feel. This is going to be our one chance. I believe they're going to send it to each household. And we really want, you know, obviously I'm promoting parks because police and fire are mandated. You can't go without police and fire. And just like a public arts commission and a parks commission, there's no mandate for any of these. These are just gravy on top of a really fine community. It has good schools, good parks, interaction and art and all that stuff. And this is a pretty artsy, dramatic town, as we know. And And so anyway, I would hope everybody fills that out and tell your neighbor to fill it out. So my lobbying's done. Okay, that's it.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you.
Yeah, any questions, I'd be happy to ask. Yeah.
Well, if you're sticking around, we might have questions when we go down a little bit further into some of the plaque discussion. But if you're not here, we totally understand as well. Thank you. Okay, so we're now to other business, and there's a few things that have come up in the last weekish to 2 weeks. First one, Peter Finkel was giving his tours and came upon the tile work at the top of Wanawata Way, which is called Rio Amistad, and there's damage. There's damage to the tile work. This is kind of right next to Granite Street. He showed me a few photos. I do, you know, I've been here long enough to know that artist. I don't know them now, but I understand they have moved since doing that work. So they're, I think, in Portland or up north. And anyways, obviously something needs to happen as far as perhaps preparing and how to do that. How do we proceed? So I'm sort of in that. Aaron might have answers on what we need to do.
Well, it's not an answer. I just wanted to share one item before you continue the dialogue, is that I spoke with Mike Morrison, who's the superintendent of Public Works. As you guys know, Public Works normally handles these types of things. And I asked him about the tile damage specifically and showed him the photos. And I asked him how he wanted to proceed and offered that, you know, it might be something that would be appropriate for the PAC to discuss. And his response was something to the effect of that would be a really good idea, because if he finds a contractor, it's going to look a lot more like a bathroom floor than an artwork. I mean, that's the type of contractor he would find. So he would be open to us being able to find someone who might be able to partner with getting that repaired.
Okay. So I guess what I'm hearing is that we might be able to provide a person who is more professional in murals and tiling, and provide that to Public Works, and then they would contract and have it done as a repair?
That's a great question. I think the first part is that we need to have someone who's interested. And yeah, it certainly seems reasonable that we would be able to pay them for that, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Stanley.
Can you describe the extent of the damage?
Well, Peter could perhaps. I'm not sure if anyone. I have not seen it in person, so I don't feel confident in that. Ken, do you have a?
Well, I would defer to Peter if he's there. But I was on Peter's tour, which I highly recommend, and we saw the damage, and it's any number of broken out tiles. I didn't count the number, but Peter, are you still with us?
Well, hang on. I can check if he's with us in a moment, but first bringing up a photo. You should be able to see that right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
I have a question. I don't know if anyone on that tour perhaps picked up those pieces and put them in their pocket. Because that could have been a way to sort of save the original tile work. I don't know. Maybe by now it's gone.
My recollection is there some pieces got pushed to the side in the little bushy areas. So it's probable that there's at least one or more samples, which would be helpful, of course.
Okay. As far as size of that damage, it's hard for me to tell, but it's looking like perhaps less than a foot in damage, half a foot in damage.
I've allowed Peter to talk. If you want to recognize him, Jennifer, he's back in the room.
Peter, do you want to share a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I would estimate maybe 15 to 20 tiles are broken overall. And what really, most of them are small, but what really brought this to our attention was that one that was photographed was quite large, and it was obviously had just happened in the last you know, a couple days before we went there. So, I mean, it's not extensive, but it has, you know, been continuing to get worse over the last few years. And 15 or 20 is, you know, that's quite a few.
So my thought is maybe I will reach out to Sue Springer and see if Sue knows of people in the Valley that she would recommend in this type of business, and then maybe we'll approach them for interest.
For the purpose of the minutes, Jennifer, who did you say you're going to reach out to?
I think it's Sue Springer. I believe that that is the name of the artist who did this work, correct? And I should probably check that. I'm going to look up real quick. Yep. So, yeah, Sue Springer, SUESPRINGER. You can look at Sue Springer at SueSpringerArt.com. So I will reach out to Sue and get their opinion on local contracting. I guess that's our best choice, unless anyone has any other suggestions.
Yeah, Jennifer, I feel like I know some contractors that have more delicate hands. If I could we get that picture, Aaron, or whoever has that? I could show it to some people and be like, I mean, I think anyone's going to require that we provide the tiles. So the artist could probably give us the best way to get something that matches. But I mean, anybody I feel like can do that grouting.
Okay, great. Thank you. We'll work on it. And I'll get you those images, and perhaps you can look for possibilities too. Sounds good. Other thoughts around this?
I would suggest we look at this regularly. Peter might be able to help us here, but the maintenance of the existing public art is certainly important. So perhaps an annual survey, something along those lines that keeps it current.
Great idea. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay. Moving on to another project that has been put forth to us or is kind of in discussions, and that's from Stanley. This is a possible mural project related.
Yeah.
Stanley, why don't you share your thoughts with everyone?
Yeah. Can everybody hear me? My internet connection's a little spiky, but I think I mentioned last meeting that I had met this new citizen of Ashland, John Pugh. He's an internationally known mural artist. I think I encouraged everybody to go to his website and be kind of blown away by the stuff that he's done. But he lives here now, and he habitually looks at big blank walls wherever he is. And he focused on that big blank wall on I think it's the north or the west side of the Elks building, Elks Club. It's a big blank wall, and he has an idea for a mural. He has talked to the Elks Club. The Elks Club are enthusiastic. Whether or not they insist an elk be in that mural or not is an open question. But he's very excited about it. The Elks wants to do it. I think that they will participate in fundraising. I let him know that the Arts Commission needs to approve things, and I made sure that he had the mural packet. I think Aaron forwarded that to me, which I sent to him. But anyway, he's very hot to trot on this thing, and I think it's a great idea. And could be a pretty amazing thing for Ashland. Where we all are right now is he has been talking about having a little event in his studio that would be open to the public. I where he can sort of show what he's doing, show some of his past work. And I said, well, if you do that, please invite the commissioners. If it's just open to the public, I'm not sure we really need to post it as a meeting. I guess that's an Aaron question. But that may be coming up fairly soon. So anyway, there's really no action items for us at this point. But just keep it in the back of your mind. I'm very excited about this potential project. And whether John is going to ask for Arts Commission funding or not, who knows? He may.
But we do know there is an approval process.
Absolutely, right.
So. Aaron, you're jumping at the bit. Go for it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a couple of things. I was brought to my attention that even having an item on the agenda gets some people laser focused. And I actually may have made an error by not having talked with some of my colleagues about this, because the Elks Lodge is clearly such high visibility. And so I wanted to stress that the Historic Commission would also be involved in this process. And it made me want to have some questions that maybe I should have asked before we got the packet put together. For instance, Stanley, do you know if we're at the point where he already has a concept, or is this really just I have an idea phase at this point?
I talked to Peter a couple days ago, and he's actually out of town, or he would be at this meeting. He has done some sketches, and he has some ideas. Nothing really formal yet. And by the way, I know that he has connected with the Historic Commission, and I think is on their agenda for their next meeting. So he's very aware that he needs to connect with them.
Jim.
Anybody familiar with the mural ordinance in town? It's basically an anti-mural ordinance, the way I've read it. And so I know there's one at the Emergency Food Bank, and I know the Calle. I voted in favor of that one, and it's beautiful. And I have a certain place in my heart for murals, but the town evidently doesn't. So there should be a lot of concentration in forming a group to lobby for this, if that's the way it's going to go, because it's really a planning issue, I think. And I don't know if Aaron's familiar with this ordinance. It's just like the sign ordinance is a very restrictive ordinance in town. And I'm sure they had great reasons for it, but hey, times change. And now we have a track record of some really beautiful murals around town. And So it's going to be an interesting thing to follow, because what doesn't get politicized in this town? And Sandy, I looked at that website, and it's amazing the people that move to Ashland and the stuff they bring with them. And I've always been fascinated by people coming here, and they have an amazing array of expertise. And so, hey, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think there needs to be thought about how this is perceived in our community. What type of mural would our community want to see, rather than just someone's vision? So I feel like there should be talks and dialogues between the Historic Commission, between citizens. All of that seems really important in this project. So I'm fully aware that this is not someone just bringing their mural to put on the side. I don't think that that's going to fly. And I hope that there is a lot of thought by the artists, by the Elks. I'm not even sure. I mean, I honestly don't think we should advertise the Elks on the side of that building. I'll just say that. It needs to be more thoughtful than that, and I'm not exactly sure, because we're just in that. We always want them to go through the proper process, and that's going to have to happen. And we can't just magically see a mural on the side of that wall. Stanley.
Yeah, if you look at the chat, Peter left a message. Maybe you want to unmute him for a second, because I know that he met with John at some point.
Jennifer, I've gone ahead and allowed Peter to talk if you want to recognize him.
Sure, Peter, would you like to talk?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I just want to add to what Stanley said, and also you, Jennifer. John is very aware of both from me talking with him as well as Stanley about how things work here in our town. And he wants to present early ideas to the Historic Commission and Public Arts Commission, have dialogue with both groups, and build the mural concept based on those dialogues.
Great.
It looks like he's not going to be able to be on the March meeting of the Historic Commission. He will probably be on their agenda for their April meeting, which is the first week of April. And so he would probably want to be at your meeting, either your March meeting or your April meeting.
Okay. Great. Ken, thank you, Peter.
I think with regard to Jim's point and Stanley's enthusiasm, I met John as well. He was on Peter's tour. It would seem to me that we need a focal point, and I'm wondering if Stanley is willing to be a point person here, just for ideas and status and at this early stage, so we're not mercury all over the water. Stanley, would you do that?
Oh, yeah, I'd be happy to. Sure.
Jennifer, do you think that's a reasonable thing? Would you like it?
I think that really I don't want to assign a commissioner as a focal point officially, because this person hasn't come here yet. They haven't started the dialogue in the official places. And I appreciate that everyone's talking to this person and giving them all the information they need. When they present to us and the Historic Commission and have a more fleshed out plan, I think that's a more appropriate time to have more advising from the commission. I could be wrong with that. I think right now we're in that, great, you're talking to people, gathering, collecting. I wouldn't say I'd officially want that in our minutes today. And I could be wrong. Aaron?
Well, I'm kind of the unofficial point person right now anyway. So I'm fine just having it stay that way. So,
okay. Unless there's other thoughts to that process. All right. Great. I think it sounds exciting. I look forward to seeing how it unfolds. And thank you for bringing it. I'm so glad this person is talking to so many people. It's terrific. Any other questions or comments before we move on? Okay. And with that said, let me continue on. We're going to go into work plan and project updates, and there's a lot to think about and talk about. So let's get ourselves going. Firstly, let's talk about Golden Connections by Jennifer Carrillo and David Frey. Is it Frey?
I think that's close. I think Frey is close.
All right. Firstly, I wanted to thank Ken, who wrote an article about Golden Connections and the medallions for the Ashland Gallery Guide. If you haven't read it, it is in our box drive if you'd like to take a look at that. I understand it's like already going out to be finalized and printed. And I just want to thank Ken firstly talking to community members and actually getting this written in a time when there was no ability for me to write it. So thank you. I really appreciate that, and I'm really excited that that's going to be coming out. So thanks for stepping up to do that, Ken, with such little time. Status of sculpture. Lots of exciting things happening. I don't even know if you've all seen the latest round of pictures. We can perhaps send those to you later, but the sculpture is really in its last form. It looks great. And we have met with Public Works. Aaron and I met with Public, who was that?
That was the superintendent of the parks department. Because it's parks, it's not public works.
Got it. And we met with superintendent of parks, and we met with the artists and sort of went through the last final logistics, which Aaron can, I want him to explain to you a little bit. So, and then I'll talk about sort of planning and get ideas from you all. So maybe, Aaron, why don't you just give them an update on how the sculpture, the status of the sculpture and how it will be installed.
Sure. So their original plan was to come out in one trip, set the form, pour the concrete, and then install the sculpture a few days later. There were some concerns that that wasn't going to be sufficient cure time for the concrete. And so after we had that dialogue, David called me. I don't know exactly. I think the timeline for when he comes out initially is still going to be the same, where he'll come out, make the forms. He did check with the engineer about some of that language that was on the spec sheet. Some of that was boilerplate and not necessary. And essentially what's going to happen is the form will be poured, the rebar will be put inside. The bolts will be tied to the rebar itself, and then above the level of where the footing is, there's a plate that all of the bolts attach to. And so it's an alignment plate. And then the concrete will be poured and cured, and then that plate comes off, and then putting the sculpture on is simply a matter of getting the crane in place and plopping it in place. The one tricky part is also coordinating the installation of the electrical, because of course there is that wire. And so I'm in the beginning stages of discussing that with the electrical department. And Jennifer, is there any more detail than you need than that, you think?
I don't think so. So just so you all are aware too, this is, I know that Parks is coming out early March and stripping away the vegetation and prepping that site. So this is early March. And then Dave, I think, is coming in maybe mid-March to lay that concrete. And per Aaron's and the park's recommendation is letting it cure longer than Dave was suggesting. So it's going to cure for a good week, and then they'll be returning to install. And that sounds like that will be early April. So yeah, just wanted to give you a sense of timing. You can start to see this action in less than a month. It's very exciting. I think that's it as far as logistics. It's really all about engineering, putting the conduit for electricity. Of course, we did talk about how the site will look after the fact, like low growing grasses, perhaps a few choiced boulders, so very minimal to not detract from the work itself. So, and that will be coming a little later. Any questions about the logistics as far as installing? Yes, Ken.
Could we get the date when they're going to do the crane work? That just as a kid and looking at Tonka toys, I would think that would be kind of fun to watch.
I don't know if we have a date.
But when we do, we'll make sure that everyone knows about it. Absolutely.
Exactly. That's the point.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, that would be fun. So, yes, it's all happening. Be prepared. It's very exciting. So then the second thing is, accelerated. Stanley.
Did we make a decision about the plaque? Or where are we on that?
We're going to discuss it today.
Okay.
That'll come in a minute. So don't worry. We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
We have, and let me just put a pin there, that we might not have this plaque by the time we do this celebration. It just might not be realistic. So, and that's okay. We can be okay about that. the next thing to really consider, and it's, of course, accelerated now, is planning. So I did sort of put into the box sort of a file that Ken had started on thinking about planning, and then I kind of distilled that into a Word document. Do you mind if I share it with you all?
Please.
So just a second. Let me find it. Let's see. Am I showing it?
Yes.
Okay, actually, there it is. Okay, so here we have kind of my thoughts. First off, date has been changed. Thank you to people who noticed that the first initial date was on Holy Holidays. So the date is now April 23rd, I'm thinking let's hit the warmest time of day because you just never know in April. So I'm thinking 3 p.m. And I'm happy. This is all just me. So this is we're all here today in consensus, and we all can have your, you all can share your ideas. So those are my tentative times. Who to invite? So I wouldn't mind if all of you, let me just kind of make this bigger. Just a second. Sorry. I have a very little screen. No, not that. Who do we invite? Obviously, we invite the sculptors. We invite the PAC. I would love to have any PAC members, past and present. Historic Commission, past and present. Mayor, past and present. City Council, past and present. Ashland Public Works, or APRC. Public Works, City Manager. I would love to make sure the selection panel is invited, representatives from the Chamber of Commerce, Chinese Oregon, Southern Oregon Chinese Cultural Association, Southern Oregon Historical Society, director, staff, board, whoever might be interested, Schneider Museum of Art, SOU Art Department, Ashland Gallery Association. Do we wish to invite Ashland School District? Superintendent, this is kind of a question, and or Ashland High School, reach out to the art department, the Truth to Power Club. Individuals that I have so far are these, and I have also reached out to Jennifer Correo to give me a list of individuals she would like me to add. Maywin Richards and Professor Jiu Yang worked tirelessly and lovingly with Jennifer on advising the sensitivity, cultural sensitivities to the Chinese language and the ways in which Chinese are being represented within this sculpture. Chelsea Rose also gave some early advising. Richard Bailey, our new SOU president, Peter Finkel, of course. And Peter, I think it's Peter, who suggested inviting Victoria Kendall, who used to run the Ashland Historic Railroad Museum. So, with that said, I'm going to, at the end of this meeting, I will put this all into the box. And if you have individuals you would like to add, let's put them into this list. Okay? I the more the merrier. With that said, I don't even know these days. It's been a while, and I'm just kind of like COVID foggy. Do we, as a PAC, invite people usually? Do we send out a postcard, a mailer? And I don't know. And so that's a question I'm putting to you all. I don't know if a email to all these people is the way to do it, or rather a mailer instead. So then, with that said, who's designing that? We need to collect addresses. So in mailing, and then is it also announced in the City Utilities newsletter, or are we too late already? Because that's now we're going to be in March soon. And so I'm like, we have these things we must do. So that is the basics on invitations. The other things I just asked here are, advertising press release, who writes that and when to release it. Who do we send it to? Tribune TV Radio. It would be awesome. And if you all agree, I can perhaps approach Jennifer Correo to ask if they'd be willing to be interviewed, perhaps on Jefferson Exchange, like during the time that they're here installing. So that actually might be, I have it as March, but I guess it could be during the install process, or it could be April when they come back for the actual ceremony. So I just thought that might be a fun thing. And then the other thing is ceremony planning. People have been throwing suggestions at me, and I just want to say I already have reached out to Maywin Richards, who is a citizen of Ashland for many years, a businesswoman, and a Chinese American who worked tirelessly with Jennifer and became good friends with Jennifer over this process. And so I've asked her to be a person to briefly reflect on the project and introduce the artists, and she's thrilled to do that. Of course, I would want the artists, if they're interested, to speak. So I guess the only person here who is confirmed is Mei Win. And I welcome your other ideas in this forum today. This is just my silliness. Having champagne with some Chinese dumplings would be lovely. Not necessary. Certainly champagne is important in cutting the ribbon. And that's my general plan. And I open the floor with your ideas and thoughts. And I'll keep this up so we can look at it if you'd like. Stanley.
Yeah. I think a nice mailed invitation would be great. I'd like to volunteer to do that. Oh, awesome. We have the equipment at my company to make those really, really nicely. And, you know, we could certainly put those together, including design, although I'm not a graphic designer. If somebody wants to design a really nice 5x7 note card, you know, we can produce it for free. So the other thing in the chat, Sandy notes that Rogue Valley Symphony is scheduled for 3 p.m. on April 23rd.
All right. Then we can have it be either after that. I guess by that time will change. So it could be 5:30, mm-hmm. or it could be earlier in the day. Maybe this is a noon. Maybe a noon is better.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for noticing that. So we're taking this away, and I'm gonna just put out noon for now. I worry about later versus earlier, and I don't know how y'all feel.
I think noon could allow the students to come, although after school would be better. With regard to the invites, when we get to speakers, I would think those need to be asked personally. That whatever that handful is.
Yes. This is a Saturday, so students potentially won't be in class.
And if it's appropriate, I volunteer to do phoning of other folks. I would think it might be Jennifer that asked the speakers, but I would like to confirm the key people's attendance just by a personal follow-up.
Great. If you would like to...
if that's appropriate, I guess.
That would be great. It would be... sounds like a fun idea. And if you're able to do it, you know, you can get phone numbers and so exactly. Early possible. Great. So Ken, I don't know if you heard me. This is on a Saturday. I purposely made this on a Saturday. So that shouldn't interfere with students.
Oh, and I didn't read.
Yeah. Saturday, but I chose for a time.
No, it's good. Yep.
Other thoughts? Jim.
The dumplings sound delicious. They need to be served with a non-alcoholic champagne because of Park's policy.
Right. Well, now that we're changing to noon.
Well, it may matter for you, but
maybe dumplings and tea, or you know, we'll have a celebratory beverage. How is that? Non-alcoholic, so I'll take that out. Great. Thank you. Other thoughts?
Is this silliness if we had a non-alcoholic bottle of champagne and broke it over the base of the sculpture? You'd ask Jennifer and Dave what they think.
I'm not so comfortable breaking a bottle of champagne on a piece of artwork.
Yes. Well, no, it'll be on the cement. And it could be disrespectful on one hand. On the other, I believe it's celebratory. It's like a ship launch. Anyway, in the noise. The list is great. I'd ask Peter if he had more. I didn't see the the SOU anthropology folks.
Okay.
I don't have my list in front of me, but.
You do have Chelsea Rose, but if you wanted to go to everyone.
Is the art department in here?
Yes. I would love to hear from other people. Any other suggestions on this? So once again, date and time, just kind of getting a consensus or anything else you wish to add?
I just want to say, I think it looks great. I'm excited. I think knowing what events are happening, it's helpful. Sandy, thank you for letting us know there's a symphony event happening. I always wonder with art about including the Shakespeare Festival and just the knowings of what's happening, since they are sort of the, you know, one of the hubs of art in Ashland, even though it's performance art. So that's my only wondering about the list. And thank you, Stanley, for printing the mailers. I think mail is a much more formal way to get the word out as well.
Yep.
And I know that, I'm saying this, I'm volunteering Destiny. I think maybe Destiny is a designer. I'm not sure, but she's not here to speak for herself, but I don't know how to design a card. So hopefully we'll be able to figure that one out. But yes, very grateful, Stanley, for your volunteering. I will begin to collect addresses, and maybe they will sort of fold into this piece here. And if you all know addresses of people, that'd be great to add them here too. I want to make sure that we maybe take a minute to talk about the ceremony. I don't want to be disrespectful to anyone in the room. I want to make sure the right people are asked and that everyone's voices is heard. So, as I said, the only person confirmed here is Maywin Richards. I appreciate ceremonies, the dedication ceremonies. I am not one to be obsessed about having 10 people speak. So I'm more of a, you know, quality versus quantity, but I also respect other people's opinions. So I would like to know who you would like to have speak here.
I think Andy and Dale, if they would agree, would be great. I mean, they both were so integral to this project. And if they're willing to do it, I think that they would be fantastic.
Okay. Other thoughts, opinions?
I agree, Jennifer. I think less is more. I mean, it looks like a good lineup, just a few people.
Yeah, and I'll say too, I haven't piped in about anything, but it looks fantastic. That's a lot of work you did, Jennifer, and putting this together. I think it's pretty comprehensive. My thoughts would be to agree that we don't want to, you know, too many is takes away from it. So,
thank you. I do want to thank Peter and Ken, who provided a lot of my ideas for who to invite. So thank you to them. Stanley.
On previous installation ceremonies, I seem to remember the mayor doing an initial introduction. I mean, she would probably introduce you, Jennifer, and then you would take over. I'm not married to that idea, but it's just what has happened in the past. So,
well, absolutely. I was just waiting to get all of your ideas. I think that probably having the mayor speak is appropriate. And I was also going to ask, do we have either Stephen, who was the commissioner for a lot of this planning, do a quick hello or Steph to do that? So is it appropriate to have our mayor and our liaison from the council speak? And I did ask that to Aaron. And you might have an opinion as well. I appreciate you bringing that up, Stanley. Does everyone agree or suggest I ask them?
I believe that's appropriate. I also think that Jennifer, you would be a great MC. I know I suggest that to you, and you could introduce the mayor. My thought is that between you, Andy, the mayor, there would be the opportunity to really extol the values to the community of public art. And I wonder if Jennifer Corio or Dave is going to speak.
Well, I haven't asked them. Okay. They are on this list. They would be sort of the,
right,
be the feature. So the way I would imagine serving as an MC, I would say hello. I would ask the mayor to say a few words. I could ask if you all would like to have one of our counselors say a few words. Ask Andy and Dale if they're interested. Then it would go into Mae Wynn, who would introduce the artists, and then we would cut the ribbon and celebrate.
Fabulous.
So any other strong opinions, feelings? All right, so I will, it would be great. I guess I really just need the time. And if we're all comfortable with noon, I can start to at least get these people lined up for showing up at noon on the 23rd. My other, I guess, little logistics of this planning is that if it's raining, I'm hoping that parks or public works would have like a tent for us to stand under. So I'm just sort of throwing that out there, and I'll put it in my list of things to think about at the last minute. Otherwise, you know, I think we're good, unless we're willing to just stand under umbrellas. Any other thoughts about, you know, and I know that money could come into play with, you know, food here, but we'll have something fun to drink and celebrate. Let me stop sharing. Any other questions or thoughts that you all have? It's feeling daunting, and I will work on it. I will put it in the box, and we'll just make it happen, and I'm really excited, and I appreciate all of your thoughts. Stanley. I think it was Stanley, or was it Ken?
Just running through my mind, how about music? Would it be appropriate to have a preparatory band or from the high school, or, you know, some whether it's an individual or a group, or anyway, it's an idea. It would make it a little more festive, I think.
Sounds like a great idea. If anyone wishes to perhaps approach someone, let me know. If you all are interested, I'll have you kind of think about that, ruminate on it.
I have just one thought. It kind of goes along with that Ken just shared, and that is the Southern Oregon Chinese Cultural Association might be, if you're looking for music or recommendations of maybe even food providers, they might have suggestions of businesses that we want to support that are owned by Chinese residents or musicians that have been used or like to play at the Chinese New Year parade or something like that, just in honoring the culture of the art.
Okay, cool. I will reach out to them. I guess I should ask Aaron, you know, do we use our own PAC budget? Are we allowed to use our budget to pay for beverage, snack? Is that too much? What do we?
I haven't been through one of these before. I presume that a small mailing is not a problem. We do have a postal machine. Stanley, I appreciate the fact you're willing to produce those. As far as sundry items for the unveiling, I'll ask. I'm not sure.
Okay. That'd be great to know. Good. Sounds great. Any other thoughts about the planning before we move into the next things? With that said, I do have in my notes that we talked about extra payment, and I think we're still in flux on that. Let's just keep that as a seed in our brain. Remember, if you can remember, the sculptor was hoping for a little extra payment. But maybe that takes us into our next discussion, which is the plaque. So, Aaron?
Sorry to interrupt, but just to set the stage for that, the plaque is obviously going to require an ask to council. And so it has been my thinking that should the PAC concur and agree that they want to make an additional payment and request some additional funds to the artist, that we would bring that request for the money for the plaque as well as the ask for the additional funds at the same time. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what we came to in decision last week or last time. Yes. Great. Okay. So in regards to the plaque, thanks so much, Joel, Destiny, Ken, for thinking and planning this and for getting me those designs. I went to the APRC on February 9th and presented it to them. And they did, if you saw in the minutes, they approved it. They are pretty strong about having a monument style marker, which means low to the ground. Their thoughts really, I understand, they don't want to take away from the actual work. They're really worried about vandalism and just the standing sign is they strongly believe is just not going to stand the test of time. So they were for option two, but then the discussion became, well, can I read this lengthy, wordy description that we've all looked at on the plaque? Can I read this from, if I'm standing up, looking at the ground, seeing this plaque? So that became the next discussion. So they moved that they would want a monument-style marker for the art piece, provided that the height and font size mean it is legible for someone of average height and average vision. And so they asked me specifically, had anyone tried this out, like put these words on the ground at the site in the font they're in? And I said, I believe no. So these are things we need to do now. And depending on if they're readable, as the long, you know, we have this lovely text that explains everything we want everyone to know. But if it can't be read, then we might have to revise, eliminate some of the verbiage. So that's kind of where we are. And they have approved this, but I also graciously said, you know, they've approved it without seeing the final product. And so I graciously said, of course, we will send you our final plans once we. And those final plans would need to be everything from the decision on font size, the decision on the verbiage, how high off the ground is the monument. There was a little suggestion to the discussion of, we want it to be a monument, but it could even be a little taller as a monument. And so this is not in my wheelhouse, but I imagine taller means more product and maybe more expensive, but something to think about. So they are going to want to see a finished product before I think we go to the council. And so I'm leaving that in your hands, as in the people who are planning this. And if they wish to maybe, I think we should have a conversation right now. I think that thinking forward, we need to see that final plan. We need to all say, yes, that's great. We approve. And then we need to take it to the next level, which is the council. I don't know, and this is for today, do we call for bids and funding now just to give all of that information to the council once we've decided? So that's where I am, and I open the floor for discussion. So I could, or maybe Joel, since you're probably faster, you could maybe share the look of the sign to everyone that's on this meeting so that they can take a look at what we're looking at. And then maybe we all just can have a general discussion.
I think Stanley had a question about.
Yeah. I just wanted to make an offer. I'd be very happy to produce an actual size prototype of the sign so we can test whether it's going to work. I have that ability in my company to do it fairly inexpensively and mount it to a board so we can kind of play around with it. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest, is just prototyping. I mean, because we can, I feel like adding extra material or lifting it off the ground more would get really expensive. and could interfere with ADA regulations in terms of, I don't know how to navigate the site. But one thing we could do, we could always make the sign bigger, and that would probably be less of a cost than raising it higher. So right now we're planning like 2 foot by 3 foot. We could edge that up. I think I sent an email to somebody, but we could edge that size up a little bit. And with Stanley's capabilities, we can really see at what size font does it really start to work. I mean, we probably don't want like a 4 foot sign on the ground. That seems a little big, but yeah, like 3.5 or so is probably not the end of the world. And then also we're trying to squeeze that map on there, and that map does not exist. The one I put on the design, I took a map from some public, I think the Public Works website, and then like masked over their stuff. So we got to figure out, since I'm so new, I don't really know where all the artwork is or is going. And I know that's kind of starting to accumulate in box, but I think that's going to be a little bit of a process to create that map. And that's good, because that could be an asset that we use for all kinds of stuff down the line, but that might take a minute.
Yeah. Great. I want to just reiterate too, when I was talking to the APRC, they asked what size it would be. I had no idea. I agree. If we are able to maybe extend it a little, that won't take away from too much of the verbiage. And they also asked me what material, and I didn't know either. So these are things we want to have really specific when, I did my best. And they'll want to know all of that information as well. I think we have Jim next.
I think the reason we voted to keep it at the monument style is because of the central bike path and its proximity to a pedestal and maybe an object that somebody could get injured on was some of the thinking on that. And I would take Stanley's offer up, make it the standard size that you would. Somehow I feel it's not going to be that difficult to read. And enlarging it and raising it might start taking away from the actual art, because the art piece has to speak for itself, as I'm sure we could all agree. But the explanation is just for somebody who just happens to be passing by and wants to read. There's several plaques around the railroad district. There's one down at the Golden Spike. There's one talking about the Applegate Trail. And it's not like this would be that unusual. And so I would just go with what you were proposing, and the mock-up, you could all go down there and say, you know, standing, I can read it. If I'm in a wheelchair, I can read it. Obviously, whizzing by on a bike, you'll get some of the feeling of the artwork, which I think is going to be neat. And I try to refrain from saying it's got a front or a back too. This is the whole object. There's no front or back, and so that's my 2 cents of what the meeting was. I think we're all in favor of having the plaque, and we're all excited about the art object. So, yeah.
Great. Stanley.
Yeah, I just want to say that keep in mind legibility is often really connected to contrast as well. You know, just a straight bronze plaque that has raised bronze letters has no contrast. If the sign we're planning has a light background with dark letters, so there's enough contrast between the letters, it just makes it more legible. I don't know what you guys have in mind.
I think Joel could speak to that. He has some ideas about laser cutting. Joel, why don't you talk about how you...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, regrettably, I could not. I almost got a quote yesterday from the guy that I know at Brill, but they're not open on Fridays, and he emailed me and just said they were too busy. But what we've been talking about is basically a stainless steel face, Jennifer. So if anyone asks about the materials, definitely be stainless steel, because it'd be outside. And then potentially those would be laser cut letters, and then that layered over powder coated black underneath. So you basically have the high contrast of the stainless steel through down to black letters below that.
Okay, great. So stainless steel face, laser cut letters, power coated black. So my thought is maybe I can, or you can, Joel, forward the mock-up that we have that's most final to Stanley. And as Jim is suggesting, maybe we need to just take a first, you know, take a look at this original plan and see if it actually can read. So maybe that's like our next goal. In the meantime, I think the map is the next problematic element. For now, I think we can just maybe print it as it looks, but the map will have to be done more appropriately for the final, maybe the final mock-up. Maybe this is like a first. I would hate for a whole mock-up to be made, printed, mounted, and then it doesn't even, like it's, you put a lot of effort, like maybe do a draft mock-up to go look at the park on the ground. So what I'm hearing is that perhaps we can forward our plan to you, Stanley, for a mock-up, kind of take a call to whoever wishes to come look at it in the park together, and then go from there. Either say, okay,
yeah, if I could have a file, either an Illustrator file, or what software are you using for this design?
Yeah, I made it with Illustrator.
I'm sorry, I didn't
hear me.
Yeah, with Illustrator. Can you guys hear me? Sorry, my Zoom cut out for no reason at all. I don't know what happened.
Yep. He said Illustrator.
Yeah, Illustrator.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, so if Joel, if you wouldn't mind sending the Illustrator file to Stanley, we can perhaps have a mock-up made, take a look, see what needs to be changed, and in the meantime, someone will need to figure out this map situation. I think in the map situation, I've looked in the information about where these medallions are going, and like exactly where, but it's still a little fuzzy from the information I have. So I would love if we knew exactly where they belonged and then could perhaps make a map.
I have some words on that when we get to that item.
Okay.
I think and
once again, that ties into this. We can't do this plaque or finalize this plaque till we have that information if the map is on this plaque. If the map is not on this plaque, then it is definitely can move faster. If everyone wants the map, we need to have a placeholder on the plaque for that, which it is right now. And let's just look at fonts and sizes first. Sound good? Okay, great. Any other thoughts? I think I heard Ken say something, but I'm sorry, my words. Oh, Joel.
Oh, I think Ken has his hand up. Go ahead, Ken. I think you had it first.
Oh, it may be the same thing. I think we need to agree that the wording that Jennifer put up is the wording we're going to start with so that we have that nailed down, and then we can adjust it once we see the mock-up. So I'd like, if it takes a motion, I'd like to move or just agreement on those wording, that wording that you used.
All right. That means I'm not sure if everyone's seen the wording. I can put it on the screen. Should we do that?
Sure.
All right. Let me find it real quick. Sorry. I'm going to kind of search here.
While you're looking, I'd like to put a pin on the medallion question when we get to that discussion, because it relates to what we're going to ask the city council.
All right. I think, let me just check this out. I think this is the final wording. Okay. So just a minute, let me share my screen. I think you see it. Let me put it into a nicer view for you all. Can everyone see?
Yep. So,
So this is the general wording. Once again, the map is not, you know, is a placeholder. This is my editing, and I'm always happy to edit further or change it. And once again, if this is too much wording, we'll have to shorten it. So why don't you take a minute to read it? And why don't I read it out loud?
Sure.
Golden Connections represents a transformative period in Ashland's history when the city was chosen by the Southern Pacific Railroad to be the main stop between Portland and San Francisco. The golden spike in this sculpture symbolized the final connection for Southern Pacific's complete rail service around the nation in 1887. This connection fostered growth, prosperity, and cultural connections in Ashland that remain impactful to this day. Golden Connections is also an offering of gratitude and acknowledgement to the Chinese workers who faced discrimination and very difficult conditions while building these tracks. This sculpture's placement in Ashland's railroad district serves as a historic marker and wayfinding point to provide a connection from Ashland's history to its landscape today. In addition to Golden Connections, one can discover 5 medallions inlaid in the railroad district that commemorate historic sites.
Wonderful.
I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
Joel,
what do you think?
I love it. Yeah. No, I said in email that, yeah, I think it looks great.
Great. Super. Do you want a motion?
Actually, I just want to make sure everyone else has a chance. Anyone else have a comment? And I can't see you all right now, so if you're raising your hand, just go ahead and speak.
I think it looks great. This is Cassie. I think it also looks wonderful, and I wouldn't change a thing either.
All right.
Hey, Stanley, before I forget, there is an Illustrator file of this exact thing in Box.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
All right. Let me stop the share. So with that said, though, I do love having all of this information, and I hope we can keep it. Just be aware that if font is an issue, things will have to be removed. And once again, if we didn't have the map, then I think that would be less, we would be able to make this font larger. But I don't mind having the map as well. I think it's great. So things to consider, Stanley.
Yeah, just a little grammatical thing. I just want to make sure the period, the very last period under CMAP, sometimes periods should be inside the parentheses, sometimes outside. Is this correct the way it is now?
No idea.
I vote that it's okay now.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think maybe I would take the pyramid out, period out. But unless there's someone here who knows the rules.
Oh, I just looked it up here. As a rule, a period goes outside the parentheses when the parenthetical phrase is an incomplete sentence. A period goes inside the parentheses when the parentheses contains a complete sentence. So I think we're good.
All right. Any other thoughts? All right. So it sounds like we have a plan for a mock-up to be made and to look at the site and determine that it's appropriate. And in the meantime, figuring out the map. But let's move forward because that's part of our next discussion as well. I'm very aware of our time. We have a lot to talk about still. Stanley.
One quick one, Joel. Is the Illustrator file, is it laid out the actual size that you want right now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I don't remember. I think I saved an Illustrator file in there, but I might have saved Illustrator-capable PDF. So if there's
that's
PDF,
fine. Either way is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. If there's a PDF in there, it's Illustrator editable, though. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, can you do me a favor? Joel, will you just send him the Illustrator file and CC me? And what I also want you to say is, I imagine this being this large. And then just the other basics that that we talked about, like as far as the steel, whatever it's made of, just so that I can see that that's being done between the two of you, and there's clarity. So
yeah, that sounds good. I can do that. And then Stanley, once you get it printed, if you want me to come by, or if you want a second pair of eyes on
sure,
to see the distance or whatever, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, and I can simulate a stainless steel background on that. So,
cool. Okay.
Oh, cool.
We'll figure that out.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you. Terrific. Okay, I'm thinking about all the things. I think we're on the Railroad District medallions. I am happy to say they're beautiful. My apologies for not allowing all of you to see them. Aaron and I and Andy were able to look at the medallions and inspect them. And you're going to be so thrilled when you see them out in our city, in our fair city. We are in the logistics planning of those medallions, and I think Aaron's going to know more than I am. So I will turn to Aaron for that talk.
So some of this is a little preliminary, because some of what I'm going to tell you is with regard to an email that I got yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to really shake out yet. For starters, some of you may be aware of a Oregon Supreme Court case that dealt with ADA access. Maybe you aren't, but it basically affected the entire state. And I don't know all of the intricate details, but effectively, if you alter an existing ADA ramp, any segment of it, you're required to bring the entire facility up to current standards. So as it's been described to me, some of the locations that we identified are problematic in that while our concept is, we'll just replace that one tile there of concrete and put our medallion into it, the answer to be in compliance with the state law would mean essentially the entire reconstruction of that corner of the intersection, which could potentially add tens of thousands of dollars to a couple of the sites that we've selected. So I have not had a chance to discuss this in detail with Public Works. This is, again, an email I got yesterday afternoon. What it's going to mean is, and I hope to bring this back to you at the next meeting, is that we're going to need to look at some of the sites that were selected and discuss possible alternatives so as not to create a very expensive concrete job with regard to that ADA rule. So that's about as much as I want to say to it at this point without having more information for you. And I'll give you a better update next month.
All right. And I guess as you move forward we will need to bring Historic Commission into just being aware. You do have to make these changes because there was this committee that was so set on where they should be.
We will definitely need to circle back with them as well. I agree with you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any comments, questions? It's all right. We're going to do it right. That's the important thing. Yes, Ken.
I was thinking, excuse me, that since the plaques are done and we're going to be asking for some concrete work, is it possible to suggest or ask that the railroad park plaque, which has the railroad on it, be installed at the time we're installing the sculpture? It would be a really nice to have that there.
Super unlikely.
Pardon me?
Super unlikely.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why?
Well, because the artists are doing the concrete work for the footing of the sculpture, and the city will be contracting out the concrete work that's going to be working in the right of way. And the location for the medallion in Railroad Park is one of the runs that runs afoul with the ADA entrance to the park there. And so, again, that's one of the locations that may need to be tweaked a little bit. The sculpture is moving much faster than the medallions. And based on the contracting process, I think it is very, very unlikely to expect that the medallions are installed prior to the unveiling of the hub sculpture. I just don't see it happening.
Okay. I was hoping we could at least get one, and that one would be okay.
I would imagine also, Ken, in that when you're contracting, say, a office in concrete, you're doing all at the same time.
Of That's course.
Going to be more efficient with the pour. So the prep is going to be all medallions work, you know, being added at the same time. That just, I think, makes the most sense. Jim, you had your hand up, I think.
Oh, I was just going to bring the logistics of the crane involved. And so, you know, it just seems like I would agree with Aaron. It's very unlikely to time all that by late April. Yeah.
Any other questions? I appreciate that, Aaron, and we'll hear from you future. Okay, moving on. I know it's 10 o'clock. You're all good? A few things here. We're into goals and actions, and these are things we've been so busy about and enjoying kind of pushing forward. So we have partnerships with community arts organizations as one topic here. We have community engagement as another topic, which is definitely coming upon us right now. And then there is also in this list the ideas of internships, and that is something I want to talk about as well. Yes.
I can make that one pretty easy in that I communicated with Bill, and basically there was a recent law suit that happened, and it involves BOLI, the Bureau of Something in Labor. And long story short, due to legal and financial liabilities, you're not going to be able to have an intern to the PAC. So that's, we can just go ahead and strike that.
All right. So the answer has been made. So I had crafted emails to send to the high school and this advertisement for the internship. And Aaron said, hold off. There's legal issues here. So I need a little clarity, Aaron. Do you mean neither an internship nor a volunteer student?
I got the impression that a volunteer student might be less problematic, but I don't have clear direction on it. If you're interested in following up with the high school and soliciting a volunteer student to work, if you could give me a scope and your solicitation document, and I could run it by Bill to see if there's an issue, but I certainly don't want to tell you yes based on the communication I had with him about the internship program.
Okay, so I think I did give that to you, so I will re-dig it up, and okay. I will. If you all still want me to pursue asking the high school to nominate a student for the following year to serve as an intern, I can continue to do that. So I guess my question is yes, no, hands up, hands down. Ken.
I'm confused here. I thought we were talking about an ex officio student. Is that the same thing? Is that the idea? Or are we talking about an intern and an ex officio student?
Okay, let me back up for a minute. Last time we got together, there was a discussion to have an internship, which would have been anyone. It could have been someone at SOU or a community member.
Right.
And I wrote up an advertisement that was going to go into city advertisement for calls. On the other side, there was also the desire for me to reach out to the high school to have a recommendation from the high school for like a 1 year service of a high school student who might want to enjoy experiencing not a voting role, but an experiential role on the PAC. And that would have been I was sending the letter now for them to select someone for that person to start in fall. So it'd be probably a senior, could be their capstone, it could be just their experience. Aaron then told me stop, and I stopped. Aaron has now said internship is out of the, is not going to happen, but he sounds like he will be willing to perhaps pursue the high school volunteer if we're interested.
Correct.
I guess my point of confusion is, why are we calling it an internship if it's an ex, what I understand to be, and Claire, help me here, an ex officio member is a member of the commission, like a commissioner, who does not vote, but participates in the discussion and brings their point of view and understandings. That's not an intern in my head. That's a member of the commission. I don't see that as any different than one of us regarding liability. Now, I would appeal to our lawyer, Aaron.
Well, again, like Jennifer just said, there's two different issues that were being discussed. One was a formal internship opportunity, and there are implications with that because of, again, labor, money, etc. The idea of a high school student volunteering is separate and apart from that. Am I incorrect, Jennifer?
They are separate.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the latter, not the former is done. So we're talking about the latter.
Correct. We're looking at, do you wish me to pursue a high school student as part of our commission in a year involvement, an academic year involvement?
I would say yes.
I agree. Yes. My understanding is that Medford Public Arts Commission has been doing this, having a high school student sit in their meeting. So I'm not sure about the legal part of that, but just FYI.
Okay. Any other ideas, thoughts? All right.
So I should follow up with Bill on that then, Jennifer?
Well, Aaron, I'm kind of searching my email. I'm going to resend what I sent you a few weeks ago.
Okay.
We'll go from there. And okay. I do believe I sent you all my verbiage, but, you know, lots are happening for everyone. So I will resend that plan and we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
So let me just put in a little note for yes. Okay. Let's see. Sorry, I want to get back to my, I was searching. Okay, so we have that out of the way. Let's kind of go back to where we were. So with that, so of course those internships in our brain and in our ideas was sort of tied. These internships / student people were tied to these ideas. For instance, someone was like, I would love it if we had someone who reviewed the survey or worked on the survey or worked with community members. So I'm just kind of rattling our memories as to what the intern would do. But we're being told now that that's not going to happen. We do have this link that has been created by Ken and Stanley, which I can put on the screen for you all and share with you. And this is a link that would go to partnerships and community arts organizations. So this is a survey that we all should say, yes, this is great. We can generate this survey to organizations. Of course, then we as a commission, from my understanding, will then determine the data and what comes of this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe the first thing we should do is I'm going to click us to the link and share it. So just a minute. Let me get myself sharing. Here it is. So this is Google Forms, I think. This is made by Stanley. So Stanley, you or Ken, why don't you just kind of walk us through this? And I'll take us through as you talk.
Stanley, you want to begin?
Can't hear you.
I can do that. So as you read this or have read it, this is a generic request for participation on the part of all of the regional art organizations to join together to share information and advocacy where appropriate by filling out a questionnaire. And the questionnaire is a work in progress. Any suggestions would be not only welcome, but helpful.
Great. Thank you, Ken. Stan, do you want to add anything to this?
No. I think that this questionnaire is really kind of simple and really generic. And in some ways, I sort of see it as a way for us to create a more current database of interested people and organizations. This is a Google form, which means all they have to do is fill it out and submit it, and then it will automatically collate all of those responses into a spreadsheet. This currently is I think on my Google account. We should probably reproduce this and send it from the PAC account, but I'm open for any suggestions. I'm trying to sort of manage my expectations here. I get a lot of these, and you know, I fill the ones out that I feel like my contribution is important. And so if there's anything about this survey that we can either edit or add to that might further the perception that the receiver might have that, oh yeah, this is an important thing. So.
Should we add win valuable prizes to the bottom?
Free beer if you
but not in a public park.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think that the form, the way it reads, is simple and makes sense. There are a few things that Stanley's bringing up that are logistically interesting. And once again, I don't know how to answer this. And that is, what is the repository for this survey? I don't believe that the PAC can... You would have to help me, Aaron. I don't know how we generate this through the PAC email or through PAC. So right now you're saying, Stanley, it's under your Google, which, yeah, so that's the logistics here are a little baffling to me in the city entity.
So there is a Google PAC account. I honestly don't know what the password is. I can try to reset it to something that we all know. It is AshlandPublicArtsCommission@gmail.com. So that's already set up. I don't have a lot of familiarity with using these surveys, but I'd be more than happy to give these credentials to Stanley since he knows how to set up the surveys.
Yeah, that's perfect. And then I'll just copy it over. It's part of Google Drive where you can create Word documents and spreadsheets. One of the thing is called forms. You can do a form. And it's very easy to put together, very specific, ways to do it, and then an automatic way to collect responses. So, yeah.
I will I'll send you the credentials to that account.
Okay.
Great. So, perfect. So if we can get the survey on a generic site for anyone in the commission to perhaps man and keep note of, that would be great, number one. Number two is that repository of addresses, I would say preferably email addresses, that we would send the survey to. So that's the part two. So we have part one is pretty close, and that is the survey itself. And part two would be that who is getting this and that
list. Yeah. Well, Aaron forwarded me the Word document that has several hundred addresses. Unfortunately, it's a Word document. And I think at one point I committed to trying to convert that into a spreadsheet that's a little more flexible. I have not had the time to do that yet. Right. But I'll try and get that up to the top of my list here. So because you're right, we need to have a list of addresses to send this to. So.
Right. That would be great. But like in a transparent list, once the list is in a form in the box, then everyone could add to it, keep kind of be the keepers of this list. And I don't want to put that onus on you, Stanley. So if anyone else is...
Well, if everybody has access to this, anybody can see the result page. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be me to be the one to analyze and collect. So,
right.
Yeah.
So I will, if anyone is interested in or willing to create that list or to work with Stanley, I think we're close. And that's all I can say at this point. And I hope that maybe we can send it out soon. Other questions about this?
Stanley, I could help you if you want to share that Word doc with
me. That'd be fantastic. Thank you very much. What I'll do is, let me think about it and I'll connect with you, Cassie.
Okay, that sounds great.
Terrific. Okay, we're at 10:14, just giving you a heads up. I do have one other thing that I wanted to bring up today. Let me stop this share, my apologies. And that is, there's been a lot of talk about community engagement on First Fridays. And I'm going to share the screen again. I think it's this one. with that said, I know that Cassie and I have had a few different exchanges and thought about this. And Cassie, in the box drive is actually that document that sort of features like trios of works that could be on a First Friday. Last time we were together, we sort of committed to doing this starting in May. And so now we have a lot going on. And I want to make sure that we can be successful with this. So I sort of wrote out, first thing I wrote out is like, I don't know, I guess it would be kind of an invitation. I don't know where I would send this invitation or how, or if it's even going to happen. A general little thing about our goal. The Public Arts Commission is comprised of citizens who wish to enhance the cultural and aesthetic quality of life in Ashland by actively pursuing the placement of public art in public places and serving to preserve and develop access. The PAC encourages all citizens to observe, discuss, participate in Ashland's vibrant public art scene. That's sort of our why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of glommed on three different artworks that we could feature in May. One is Nourishing Our Community. We have a Peter Finkel article. So whoever was standing at Nourishing Our Community as a person from the PAC could get to know that article enough to answer any questions about that article and that work, or that artwork and the artist. The other one would be Street Scene, which is the bronze work by the Shakespeare Festival on East Main. Marion Young did that work, and there's another Peter Finkel article that could give you more information. And then the last one would be the Velocity Sculpture, which is in the alley, not the ally, near Thomas Theater. So this is what was named by Cassie the Pioneer Trio. So we can do this. I guess that this was sort of the thought that maybe we would do Jacaya Guanajuato in July, maybe do the Plaza on Water Street in September. So this is the plan. I would love to, you know, I can speak to anyone. I can show up at one of these and just wing it. I know there was a goal to have a printout of like, what is the PAC? And that's where this verbiage came into play, this verbiage. Do I want to have some verbiage? Do I want to have also like come see us in September or in August or whatever other date? So these are things to think about, mind you. With that said, we have this other huge thing to think about that's happening right now as well. So I can't do it all. And so I would love to know your thoughts. Like, are we ready to meet on a First Friday and talk about three artworks? And how can we do it efficiently without too much stress? And I will turn off my screen. We have like 5 minutes to discuss this. Stanley.
So I guess the main thing is we need to find out which commissioners would be willing to show up and hold forth.
I'm absolutely willing to show up wherever and talk about the art and engage people.
As am I. So.
Too.
As am I.
Okay, great. And as am I. I was committed to doing May. And so maybe some of you actually can commit to the next month or the next time. And if we can maybe do this a few times, we can see how it goes. I guess the next question is, What do we feel like we want? We know what we want to accomplish. We just want people to talk to us about art. That we want people to know who we are. I see it as much more informal than maybe some of you at this point. So the vision is what I'm after for you. If we're in the planning stages or we've never done this before, what would you want to see by May if I was to stand there? Can I just stand there and have a name tag on and talk about the work I'm with? And is that enough? If some of you want more than that, that's when we need to start strategizing. So, Ken.
I like that idea, but I think that we need some announcement so that people know to come to hear you or me or anybody who's speaking. It needs to be more than just collecting people who happen to be passing by.
Okay, but it is a First Friday. And the intention is that people are passing by to attend First Friday. And I agree with you on that. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I welcome other thoughts. So there is a suggestion that there needs to be an announcement. How would that announcement go out and to whom?
Well, and I wonder too about the specific artwork. I think, for instance, Velocity would be obvious. People would be milling about and there'd be an opportunity to have people see you. But, you know, we would have to have a list of art that perhaps was, if we didn't advertise or, you know, have something about it ahead of time, that it would be something that would be on the path to where people were visiting art galleries or whatever the case is.
That's a really good point. Stanley.
I think that if we are going to just rely on people passing by, we need something like a sandwich board out there announcing the fact that here's somebody that wants to talk to you about this sculpture. Because otherwise they'll just see somebody standing there. And if you don't have that, then you're kind of a carnival barker, you know?
Yeah, and then absolutely some kind of a name tag or designation that you're an official something. Person.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also seems like with the Golden Connections going up at Railroad Park, there's opportunity for there to be press around that and opportunity for there just to be one line saying, Public Arts Commission is excited to look forward to three First Friday events, you know, in the upcoming months, just sort of to get that slightly out there, that little buzz. I don't know that it needs to be anything more than that.
Yeah, good idea.
I think it has to have the location and a time.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at this. So I kind of just kind of took the onus of thinking about where July and September would be based on Cassie's hard work on kind of creating a table of like trios. And one was Calle Guanajuato, which, and the other for September would be like the pathway from Plaza to Water Street, which is three different works in that pathway. So the basics, we have the basic information to once again structure sort of an informational sheet. And so that can happen. Right. Now we're at 10:22. So we're running out of time to figure this out. Once again, it needs to have more, it needs to have people working on it. And like I said, I'm happy to show up and do it. And I'm, you know, as far as making a sandwich board, that would need to happen. Having a handout for when we have our opening on in April. That would be great. So these are all the things that need to happen. And I feel as though I'm running out of time right now to kind of talk about that and get it solved. Mm-hmm. Ken?
I'd like to, if it's appropriate, move that we adopt this as a working plan and that commissioners identify which date they would sign up for.
Okay. So you're suggesting a working plan. Would you like, I think I might have already put this on the box, but I'll check again and see if this document is on the box. It may not be.
It is. I looked at it, Jennifer. It is in the box, and you did send out a link for it.
So if people wish to put their names under the time that they're willing to do, to be the actor, that'd be great. And what I envision, I love an idea of a sandwich board, no idea how to make them, but that's fun. You could even get, we can get a few latex balloons for each section to sort of kind of have you stand out. And then it's just a matter of being there. Yeah, so we have some time to think forward, but the actions have to happen. And I think it's great. And we have so many great actions right now. I appreciate you all and all this great thinking. Yes, Ken.
Do we need a motion to ask the city to install the medallions? Is that something that's already going to take place without our action, or do we need an action?
That's happening. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's in progress. Like I said, there's some more work that needs to be done now with the location, but yeah, that is in progress.
Who will definitively assign the locations, at least for our look-see?
Well, in the next month, that's one of the projects I'm going to need to work on with representatives from Public Works and then bring that back to this body for additional dialogue.
I know we're in a few minutes left. Any other questions or comments? We have a lot going on, you guys. I'm really proud of all the work you're doing. And I actually have a bummer thing to say, and that is that I've been planning on a sabbatical for 4 years, and it was approved. So I'll be stepping down as chair because I'll be gone for about 5 months starting in August. So I'm just letting you know that. And I'm, of course, working through these big projects, but I won't be chair. So just putting that out there into the ether. And I will be at the meeting next March as a chair. However, I have a full business meeting the following in April. So someone will need to run that meeting. I'm happy to show them the agenda. And then from there forth, I won't be chair. So just letting you know, putting it out there, and it's been lovely, but I'm really excited to be on a sabbatical and going out of the country and doing things that I've been looking forward to for a long time. So I wanted to say sorry, and no need.
I just wanted to mention to you, Jennifer, that when I told some of my colleagues that you were going on sabbatical, the answer was that, well, she's on sabbatical, she can still be the chair.
That sounds lovely. No. That's funny. I'm gonna be checking out and doing things and researching and in other places where time zones are very different, and
well, that's exciting for you. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Indeed.
I know we've set a lot of exciting things in motion, and I know all will be well. yes, Ken.
I think we have a vice chair. Is that correct?
That's me right now.
Oh. Right. So Stanley, I'm not pushing you at all forward, and that is up to all the commission in the forward, but I do need someone to run the April meeting. And I did send you an email quite a while back asking. And if you can't, just let me know so I can kind of submit or ask someone else. And it's
I'd be happy to run the April meeting.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, great. Any other questions? We have 3 minutes. It's been a pleasure, and lots to do. My mind is reeling. I will probably reach out to many of you for many things, and we'll just keep the ball rolling. And it's exciting.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Have a great Friday.
Thank you.
Cheers.